My wife says I'm grumpy sometimes, but the other day I got perturbed. Now, some of you teachers might be able to tell me the difference between grumpy and being perturbed, but I got perturbed. I picked this up in Elk City, and I was perturbed. It is Covenant Kingdom Ministries, man and woman's name. They have dream workshops, funerals, weddings, revivals. They teach guitar, bass, drum lessons, business and home dedication, tech messages. And then on the inside, it's all about dreams, negative colors, positive dream colors, positive dream symbols, helpful hints, dream categories, dream levels. And you may support the ministry, make a check. So anyway, I was perturbed when I got that. Then, this is handed out in Wheeler. I got more perturbed. There's degrees of perturbs. You know, more and more is better perturbed. I was better perturbed when I looked at this. And this is coming out in Wheeler, Texas. I don't know whether I can get to all of these. Here's a list of the Bibles they use. Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, or the Bible in Basic English, or Common English Bible, or Contemporary English Version, or Easy to Read Version, or English Standard Version, or Good News Translation, or God's Word Translation, or the Message, or the New American Standard, or New Century Version. I'm getting tired up. There's another column of all the Bibles that they use. That makes me perturbed. I don't want any of those. I don't want one of them Bibles. Then I get over here and it talks about their pastors, a man and a woman. And then in the back is a prayer. And that's what we're going today. The prayer. And it's not the Lord's Prayer, folks. Let's read their prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe you died for me and that your blood pays for my sins and provide me with the gift of eternal life. By faith, I receive that gift and I acknowledge you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, I've been told with this prayer, you're saved. You have a ticket to heaven. It's a done deal. Maybe in a week or two, you might be baptized to be part of that religious organization. If it's in the summertime, you might go to the swimming pool and be baptized there and swim and play and have a snow cone. Now, I'm not making this last part up. This was on the internet. This is taught in Wheeler, Texas. I'm perturbed. And I'm grumpy when I'm perturbed, aren't I, Becky? But this is not right. I don't like this. I get perturbed. But let's think of some positives here. Some positives about this prayer. Do we need Jesus? Yes. Do we believe that Jesus died and arose? Yes. Do we believe Jesus' blood washes away sins? Certainly. Do we believe in eternal life? Yes. Do we believe in faith? Yes. Is it okay to say Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Absolutely. So here's the positives in this prayer. But to teach that this is saves you from your sins, to teach that this washes away your sin, to teach that you're saved and that you got it done is completely false. If you do a word search in the Bible, what must I do to be saved? It'll probably come up and say something about the Philippian jailer and what he did. You can do a word search on what must I do on the day of Pentecost, they is told what to do. You can read about the eunuch. And he says, here is water. What just hinders me from being baptized? And it tells us what to do. This prayer is not in the Bible. Yes, some of the things that we saw, the good ideas are there. But never is the Lord tell us to just pray and we got it made. So let's read this. Revelation 22 and 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. Absolutely what we have in this prayer, in this little handout, is not going along with God's teachings. What else is wrong? I'm going to say the prayer is wrong. In Ephesians 5 and 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way to say a prayer. Their prayer just says, amen. So it's incorrect. This morning, Brother Britt prayed in Jesus' name. I am not supposed to guarantee, but I'll guarantee at the Lord's table, when we break the bread, it'll be in Christ's name we pray. When we do the communion, it'll be in Christ's name we pray. When we close the service today, somebody will say, in Jesus' name we pray. That's the way we're taught to pray. So the prayer's wrong. Another thing I came up with. In John 9 and 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. I'm telling you that the prayer in this little pamphlet was not heard by God. No, the scriptures are telling you it was not heard. Why? Isaiah 59 and 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You have separated yourself from God because of your sin and doing wrong things. He's not going to hear you when you're a sinner. You can pray as much as you want to, and it don't get out of the room. So that sin was not heard. Another thing that kind of perturbs me is in Job 41 and 9, behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? These people have false hope. They have got their ticket to heaven and they go about living just like they were when they was in sin. That's false hope. Brother Matthew was a paratrooper in the military. He jumped out of airplanes with a parachute. Now, if he got a parachute that was defective, y'all know what would happen. That would be a crash landing when he hit the ground. He would have a false hope. He had a parachute on his back. He's jumping out of the plane. He pulls a cord. If you pull cords anymore, I don't know. Nothing happens. Don't you have another cord, Matt? A second cord? What if it don't open? If it don't open, boom. You have an abrupt stop. He had a false hope that that parachute would work. These people have a false hope that they're saved. And that perturbs me when that is taught. Ephesians 2 and 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Here they are, they're thinking they got it made, but they don't. They're just flying down life's pathway and they haven't got it made. They've been deceived. All right, let's do quickly. I said you could do a search in the Bible. Let's look at some things that shows up, and I'm sure most of you know these. What must I do to be saved? And I want you to watch and see how these things are kind of woven together. In Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we got two things here, faith and hearing, that is necessary to be saved. Luke 13 and 3 and Luke 13 and 5, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know what repent is? Repent is not living bad anymore, not lying, not cheating, not doing all these sinful things. That's what it is. Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So here we have belief and confession. That's part of his plan, that we get salvation of sins. Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we have repentance and baptism. So when we get through, we got these things, believe, faith, repent, confession, and you got salvation. And you find that in various examples in the Bible. Never were they told, say this prayer. This is what is told every time. Look what Jesus said. Matthew 28, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is why when someone comes forward, they want to be baptized, we ask them to stand. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They say, yes, sir, I do. We'll go back to these rooms where there's a change of clothes and towels, come up into this water, and whoever's helping the individual say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost for remission of sins. They come up out of the water, their sins are forgiven. We go through a process just like Jesus did. He was died, he was buried, he come up anew. We do the same thing. That is God's plan for salvation. All right, let's take a break. If you want to, mentally take a note on paper, get out your phone, whatever. Make a list of what you did for salvation. Make a list of what you did. You don't have to turn these in after the service. You don't. But I want you to think about what you did. Now let's keep perturbing. This is also taught that, you know, it's one and done. You say there's prayer, and then you go back to living the way you always did. You got it made. You have the ticket to heaven. That's all it takes. This is not taught in the Bible. 2 Peter 2 and 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. This says that a sinner that obeys the gospel and then goes back into the world and is again entangled and overcome, it is worse for him than if he had never obeyed the gospel. You can be lost after you obey the gospel and are baptized. Think about this. In Luke 8 and 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and then in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. There's a word called here, calling fall away. With temptation, they fall away. They're in a lost condition again. A Christian, after they're baptized, needs to have fruit. Fruit to perfection. Apples have apples. Oranges have oranges. Christians have Christians. We're supposed to go out and tell others about the Lord. If a Christian falls away, now we say a prayer. James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Lord knew how I would be. I fall short more than once. I fall on my face. I fall in the gutter. And we're told to pray one for another. We don't have to be rebaptized again. Pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So from time to time, the devil gets the best of us, and we do fall short. Let's think about a few warnings that we have from Jesus. Matthew 7 and 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you as sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know, as you think about these religious organizations, they do a lot of good things. They feed the poor, they visit the sick, they have church buses. They just have all kinds of stuff. And it looks like they do a lot of good things. But Jesus warned us too. Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And then verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I got on the internet, I typed in, what must I do to be saved? 10,000 hits or whatever it's called, 10,000 things I could read out. I read two or three and I got perturbed again. And Jesus warns us about that. People will deceive you. So we have to watch out. Matthew 15 and 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. We have to be careful. There's warning signs all throughout the Bible. Watch out. Check it out. How are we going to do this? John 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue my word, and then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continuing in his word. I think that's what is key for us, to continue in God's word. Then you are my disciples. And that will keep us free from all these problems that we have. How do you know the truth then? Because you can hear anything. You can pick up some of these Bibles that I've never seen that I read off earlier, and you probably can't even recognize it as a Bible. Acts 17 and 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. We got to put in some effort. We got to do a little homework. We got to study stuff. 1 John 4 and 1, believe not, brethren, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Do not believe what someone stands up here like me and showing you. Check it out yourself. Make sure it's true. What if I typed in some wrong stuff up there? Check it out. And anytime you got questions, there's people here that will sit down and study with you. Open the Word of God. Make sure that is so. Here's another way to tell the truth. 2 Peter 1:3. According as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We do not realize the capabilities of God. It's hard for me to fathom that years ago He spoke the world into existence. It's hard for me to realize that He set the sun up there and it never burns up. It's hard for me to realize all these stars go around, they don't run into each other. But He has that ability to give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Everything is given to us. It is never going to go away. It may be, we may be deceived to reading a Bible that's not really a Bible. We may be deceived into believing the wrong thing, but His Word is always here. Everything we need is right here in front of us. We just have to use it. And if we need help guiding, just like the eunuch did, how can I accept someone guide me? There's people that will help you. We will guide you. We're about to bring our remarks to a close, so think about this. Your choice will affect your eternity. If you decide to say this, that's going to affect your eternity. If you decide to do God's plan, that's going to affect your eternity. Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It is appointed man to die and face the judgment. That's going to happen. When you stand in front of the Almighty God, do you want to obey His will or something you picked up in a pamphlet? Your eternity depends on it. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that has said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You don't want to hear these words when you're standing in front of the Lord Almighty. You don't want to hear those words, I promise you. One more slide. I'll take a good look at it. Think about your notes. Have you obeyed God's plan that we find in the Scriptures? If so, did you do it correctly? Was it administered to you directly? Was it done correctly? I'm going to say this. If not, let's do it again. Let's make sure. Eternity is worth it. Let's do it again. If you have not obeyed the gospel, why wait? Do you know the truth? Do you know God's plan?